Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Thank you for tuning in to the Deen Show. And this month in Ramadan, we're going to be bringing you some exciting new episodes on the Deen Show. And we got a special treat. You know, beyond all the media hype and the sensationalism, people turning on all the different news reports, and you usually have a lot of negativity associated with the truth. You know, Jesus, when he came, he preached the truth, didn't he? But people spit at him. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. Was he bringing falsehood or he was bringing truth? He was bringing Islam. He was calling people to the truth and they drove him out. And many people now, one of my guests who are coming on today, he saw beyond the hype and he's here on the Deen Show to tell us his story on why, when you got all this negativity associated with Islam, why did he accept it? He's a African-American, Puerto Rican, here on the Deen Show to tell us his story. Very amazing story. You don't want to go anywhere. We'll be right back with Keenan here on the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show. This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
How are you? Keenan on the Deen Show.
Good to be here.
How you been, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, been really good.
I opened the show. I mean, it seems like you don't watch too much TV, do you? I mean, back when you accepted Islam, you know, today and yesterday, always, you know, whenever there's been the truth coming along, there's always opposition to it. But it seems like you got past all the sensationalism, all the media hype, and you accepted Islam.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Growing up, all I was surrounded by was negativity. But when you're surrounded by that your whole life, it seems normal to you. You don't realize what you should be doing and what you should not be doing. So it was really tough distinguishing the two. You know, doing good as opposed to doing bad. Growing up, I spent most of my life in Logan Square.
Chicago, Logan Square, that's a part of Chicago.
Born and raised here in Chicago.
Yeah.
Parents separated when I was about 3 or 4 years old. I don't really remember. But I just remember moving back and forth to my mother, to my father. So it was really tough seeing my parents separated. Spent most of my life with my mother. I say about half of my life was with my mother, but I still maintain that relationship with my father. So it wasn't up until high school when things started progressing for the worse, as far as living that life of, you know, drinking, smoking, girlfriends, you name it. Up until I was about 18 or 19, very good friend of mine who I grew up with was a Muslim, and I didn't know anything about Islam at all. I've been to churches. All I knew was that Jesus, peace be upon him, came down, died for our sins. Very general.
That's what you believed as a Christian? Well, that's yes, what you were taught?
That's what I was taught, but at the same time, I was a little confused on who I should pray to, how to pray, and what was the right way of doing it. But I always prayed. That's one thing I did. Even though I did it sacredly, on my own, in my room, I always prayed, asking for forgiveness, protection. And I didn't really tell anybody about it.
Now, who were you praying to? Were you praying, because the Christian belief is that there's three in one. So Jesus is God, the Father is God, the Holy Ghost is God. And you said you're confused about this. So who are you praying to?
It was Jesus at times and God at times.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was not sure at all. Even though I did go to church, I wasn't really taught about Christianity. So I didn't really know too much. I just know that there was a higher power out there that guided us and gave us the things that we have in our life today.
Yes.
So at the age of 18, I found out I was going to be a father. Right then and there, I knew I had to change.
Big responsibility now.
Very big. Being young, still out there, partying, you know, it's.
Was that like a wake-up call?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So at this point, were you religious at that time, or you were still like clubbing, hanging out? Just
I was still hanging out.
Yeah.
Working a lot, you know, very busy. So at the age of 18, a very close friend of mine, I mean, even though I'd known him since grammar school, I wasn't really taught about Islam or the way of life. I just knew that you had to pray 5 times a day. Don't eat pork, stuff like that. I wasn't really taught about it. So just one day we were hanging out and I was telling him how I felt as far as praying and just the way we should be living our lives and how we should treat people. And I always had a good heart. He seen that, he knew that. So he just ran it by me. You should learn about Islam. I was like, well, I don't know anything. Tell me what I should do, what you know. So he was just telling me all, you know, it's very easy, you know. But the main thing that started is like, I was telling him how the media, you know, brings out, you know, this life that we live now is the way that we should be living our life forever. As far as drinking, partying, cars, I mean.
It's like all the bad things are glorified.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, that's because people are living for this life. There's a life after this. If God takes your life today, you will be standing in front of him. So if you're doing all this haram, what do you think is going to happen?
So the Muslim's telling you this?
Yes,
yeah.
He's telling me this. And the whole time I didn't know what to say. I was just listening and I was so amazed by it. It's like it hit me right away. I was like, wow, you know, everything made sense. Everything he was saying made sense.
He started explaining the fundamental beliefs of Islam and everything?
Everything just made sense to me.
As opposed to before, you said things weren't making sense.
I was confused, but it was just so simple, you know, of what I was learning right then and there. So that night I went home and I was just thinking about a lot of things, everything, my whole life and what I've been doing this whole time. But then I started thinking about my family. Like, they don't know about Islam, and what if this, what if that? You know, I'm only 18, 19 years old. I started getting a little frightened. So a few months later, it was New Year's Eve. I was still going to Juma, and I was.
So wait, now at this point you accepted
Islam? I didn't accept it at this time.
You didn't accept Islam,
but
you're going to Juma.
I'm going to Juma. My
he's taking you along with him.
He's teaching me how to pray,
mm-hmm.
and I'm loving it. I'm feeling happier.
But you didn't accept Islam yet.
Yeah, I didn't accept Islam yet. So New Year's Eve, I was going to Friday prayer, and a friend of mine was like, are you ready? Are you ready? I'm like, ready. I don't know. I barely know anything. You know, I think it's a little too fast. Just making up excuses.
So you're making excuses up.
Yeah.
And they're asking you, are you ready?
Are you ready?
Hold it right there. We got to go to break. So they're asking you, they're giving you the invitation. You're going to accept Islam. You're like making all these excuses up.
Right.
A lot more to the story when we come back with Keenan here on The Dean Show.
Imagine understanding the Quran in its original Arabic and feeling closer to Allah. It's something we all want, but you've never had time. It doesn't have to be so daunting. Half of the Quranic words are just 125 words that occur 40,000 times in different grammatical forms. And Understand Quran Academy can help you learn these words and more in only 9 hours. Sign up today at www.understandquran.com.
Back here on the Dean Show with Keenan. Boricua? I mean, Puerto Rican?
Yes.
All right. Now, so people are excited because they're like, okay, the anticipation is building up. You're loving the message of Islam, the simplicity, it makes sense. You're going to the Jummah, the Friday prayers, and they're like, okay, are you ready? And you're making excuses. What happens next?
I said, okay, let's do it. I'm ready.
No, wait. Now, finally,
right then and there, I was like, okay, I'm ready. Let's do it.
After how many excuses?
I don't remember. But
why were you? Why do you think you were making up excuses? Now, we see a lot of this a lot of times. People know Islam is the truth, but sometimes they're not courageous enough. They hear all the negative stereotypes associated with Islam. What my family, my friends, I might not be the cool kid on the block anymore, right? So you really got to build up this courage. So you finally did. But how come before you didn't have the courage? What was it that you? Why were you making up all these excuses?
I don't know. I think it was because I was just surrounded by. Everything came so fast.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at my past a lot.
Yeah.
And I was just a little scared. Scared? You know, and
a little apprehensive?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I decided to do it. And right when I started reciting, when I was making Shahada, I started crying. Tears started falling down my face.
When you entered, there's that proclamation that you make,
mm-hmm.
and then you did the Shahada and you started crying?
Started crying. I didn't know why.
That happens to a lot of people. A lot of people, when they accept Islam, they end up, you just feel like a weight's been lifted off
you.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I was crying the whole time, and then all these people were coming forward, people I don't even know, people that don't even know me. And they're recording me, they're taking pictures, but I didn't care about any of that. I was just thinking, no words can explain it. And
were you happy?
Very happy, very happy. After that, I started meeting all these people, and that 5-10 minutes, I have got the most love and the embrace than what I have my whole life growing up.
From all the welcoming hugs?
The welcoming hugs and the smiles.
Your new family embracing you.
My new family.
From your whole, you felt more love that day when you accepted Islam than in your whole life?
Yes. I had a loving family, but it was amazing. And from this day forward, every time I hear somebody accepting Islam and saying the Shahada, I want to cry every time. So, but after that, like you said, I felt as if a bunch of weight was taken off me. I felt lighter, happier, and I knew that no matter what I did before was gone.
Yeah.
And I had to start fresh and really think hard about the decisions I make from now forward. Mm-hmm. So, I knew I had to start with watching who I hang out with because, you know, the shaitan comes to you from your friends and sometimes family. So I knew that if I really wanted to change, I had to really think hard about the decisions I make. So
because sometimes you have, you know, the friends that you've developed all these bad habits with, the drinking buddies, the clubbing buddies, and they'll, you know, make up every excuse to get you back into the club. You say, I got no money. They'll be like, I'll pay for your way. I'll pay the door. I got drinks. I'll buy you all the drink just to get you back.
Right.
So you got to start, like,
exactly.
Excommunicating some of the old drinking buddies, clubbing buddies, because you don't want to fall back into that bad trap, right?
Exactly. And even if they said that we're not going to do any of that, I knew that's all we did.
Yeah.
So
misery loves company.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I was just tell them, no, I'm fine. I'm hanging.
Did you try to, like a lot of people, you know, when they realize that this is the truth, now they naturally, because you care about people, you want to share. Were any of them hearing it, or most people like?
No, I felt like they took it as a phase I was going through.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this guy, this, you know, nobody expected any change from me, I can tell. Mm-hmm. I wasn't wild. I wasn't, you know, I was just so deep into it that they felt as if they can never quit those things. So they took it the same way for me, you know, like this guy, he's one of us. He's not going to change. We'll see.
It's more of the YOLO lifestyle. You
exactly.
only live once.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's.
But the Islam is telling us, no, you actually continue living.
Exactly.
Right. You are going to be accountable. And that is what really triggered you to think when exactly. the Muslim was talking about the reality of people just living for this life. But there's another life. Let's talk about that now. Now, you know, Islam connects you to the eternal home, paradise. Accountability in this life, and now you're really conscious of your Creator and your actions. You want to do good. You want to live a good, wholesome life. Talk to us about this.
I knew that I started educating myself first of all. In order to share, you have to obviously know what you're talking about. And since it was still new to me, I was still fall weak to a lot of things, but I was more conscious of my actions. I can honestly say that my fear of God grew. My Creator, right then and there, you fear the consequences. So I realized that if I want the best for me, I have to make smarter decisions. Yeah. So it was a battle. I knew I was going to be tested, and from there on, I slowly but surely started changing. And
have your parents, have your family members seen the positive change in your life? Your character getting better. You as a human being developing, being more responsible, being more productive, a productive citizen, productive member of society.
Yeah, absolutely, that's the main thing. I can't be a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that I knew that I had to do was not be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Because, you know, hypocrisy puts you in the lowest depths of hellfire.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I had to show them that I'm not who I thought I was. And living that life is not going to be the right thing. So they accepted my decision right away. They seen the change in me. But then again, it was still new to them because we weren't raised or around anything like that at all.
Yeah.
So just all about trying. It's all about trying to do good. And if you try, then things only get better from there.
They get better. Definitely. Now you got a roadmap that you live by while other people are hipping and hopping into the club and still not happy. You left the club and you're happy. And so much more to talk about. We'll be right back to talk to Keenan and get the rest of his story here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
To save one life is as though you have saved all of humanity. Show kindness to your parents, just as they cherished you in childhood. Give in charity of the good things you earn. Even a smile is charity. Explore the real values of Islam.
Have you ever wondered what Islam and Muslims are truly about? What do Muslims believe? Who was Muhammad? Do Muslims believe that Jesus will return? Is Islam respectful of other beliefs? What does the Quran say about women? Would you like to learn the truth about Islam? Would you like to read the Quran for yourself? Find the answers for yourself. Call toll-free 877-WHY-ISLAM.
Back here on The Dean Show with Keenan getting his story. And interesting story also, inside of your story, is that you also have an older brother who you really didn't get along with, right?
No.
Rivalry in your family between you and your brother. But come to know that your brother also accepted Islam. Is this right? No, very interesting. No. Tell us about this. How this came about.
A few months before I converted, I say about for about 3 or 4 years, my brother and I didn't talk. We had our own issues, and we just didn't get along, living two different lifestyles, so we barely talked. Until one night, I'm pulling up to my house, and I get a call from my brother. And he goes, "Hey, are you Muslim?" And I'm like, "No, but I'm still learning, and I will be Muslim soon." He goes, "Man, I just converted a month ago." I'm like, "Really?" I was shocked. I was speechless. You know, I was speechless because, I mean, we didn't even talk, let alone we seen the light at the same time. So he's like, "Yeah, Mom was telling me that you don't eat pork anymore." So I was like, you know, Puerto Ricans, they love pork.
Yeah.
So we ate a lot of pork growing up, but, you know.
I want to go, since you mentioned the pork, I want to go to this clip because some Christians or not yet Muslims, they'll hear like pork. What's the big deal, pork? But we're going to go to this clip by actually a Christian pastor who's telling his congregation to stay away from pork. Real interesting. We'll go ahead and let them listen to this.
And then let's talk a moment about pork, ham, bacon, pepperoni. These are some of the things that the scripture tells us we should not eat. This has to do with anything that comes from a pig, a hog, a swine. And I know some of you love pork chops. You love ham and cheese sandwiches. I grew up on all that. I love bacon. But for our health's sake, we have to be willing to make some changes. God knows what's best for us. And back in the Bible days, the pig was considered unclean. It was never considered a source of food. And one of the main reasons why was the pig will eat anything. A pig eats waste and garbage. This is kind of gross, but a pig will eat its own dead child. A pig will eat other sick and infected animals. They're scavengers. And what's interesting is the pig has one of the quickest and poorest digestive systems of any animal. It takes only 4 hours, and that's not good. Because the digestive system is so quick and so poor, many times the toxins from the food are not properly eliminated, and they are stored in the pig's fat. That means that pig can eat all kinds of filth and garbage. It can eat other infection. 4 hours later, it's sent to the slaughter and butchered. In a few days, it's on your plate at home. You're having ribs. The problem is the toxins were never properly eliminated from the pig.
That's very interesting. You see, Joel Osteen is telling his congregation how many tens of thousands stay away from pork.
Yep.
So if you're Christian, hey, you should be following also. Jesus never ate pork or none of the prophets. They also only worship God, didn't worship a Trinity or any of these things. And that's what you're doing now. So continue on. You know, your brother says that he heard you didn't eat pork, and then what happened?
He's like, "Yeah, I heard you didn't eat pork." And I was like, "Nah, quit, you know, quit all that." He's like, wow. We were speechless. We didn't know what to say. But he told me, he's like, "Look, man, it's the right thing to do. It's the right way of life. This is how we should be living." And
wow, subhanAllah. You're getting confirmation now from your brother who you've been apart from for several years.
And
Allahu Akbar. I
didn't know, and I had no clue because we were still doing things we shouldn't have done. He was out doing his own. I didn't know what he was doing, but
what everybody's doing, right? People just trying to make a paradise on earth.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Chasing the dunya, the material world, just satisfying your desires. That's it.
Right. Right. So right then and there, we are now close now than we've ever been.
So now you and your brother are tight.
Yeah. We talk
closer than ever.
Closer than ever.
Allah Akbar. Yeah. God is great. Look at that. Amazing.
Alhamdulillah. So he knew more about Islam than I did. So he would tell me things, and I met the brother that taught him about Islam, and was a really good guy, and we're close now. So that's it was a major. I knew I had support, and I knew I had somebody by my side. Because before then, I knew that, okay, if I distance myself from my friends and my family so I can do better, then I felt like I was going to be maybe alone.
Yeah.
But you're not alone.
Yeah. So tell us more. We're almost out of time. you know, Ramadan, we're here in Ramadan, and you've gotten to experience it also. You know, we know Islam is based on five pillars. The one is that what you did, the shahada, accepting Islam, is to agree with what's in your very nature, that there's nothing worthy of worship except the Creator, your Maker, the one you're going to return back to. I'm only going to worship Him, the same God that Jesus worshiped, and Muhammad is the brother of Jesus, Moses, Abraham. He's the final messenger. You accept all of them as messengers, right, not gods or any part of God or divinity with God. No, just worshiping one God, and now praying five times a day. You established the prayer five times a day.
Established the prayer. It took time.
Was that challenging?
Yes, it took time.
But you finally did it?
I finally did it.
Alhamdulillah.
My first Ramadan was very difficult.
Uh-huh.
Didn't only fasted maybe a few times.
Yeah.
Up until my third Ramadan, I fasted every month, and every day that went by of me fasting.
You finally got a hang of it.
Finally
got into the spirit of it.
Not only that, I felt so much better.
Yeah?
I felt so much better, and I was happier. And this is something I can share with people, because I knew me as a Muslim, this is something I have to do. And I just felt excited that I can be able to tell other people that I have accomplished that, because some people are like, oh, you can't eat, that's, you know, it's crazy. But I explained to them why, and it's just something I can share and be very proud of, and would help me from there on.
There's nothing that we do in Islam that goes against humanity as a whole, that is harmful for you,
right?
No negative side effects. Everything we do produces good results.
Nothing
but everything we were doing back in Jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance, everything that we were doing, mostly all of it, produces bad results. The drinking, with the drugs, with whoever was doing that and left that, you usually don't want to go back to that.
Right. You're scared.
Yeah.
You fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're scared. You don't want to do that. You don't want to face the consequences. That's all it is. And people don't want to make these changes because they want to be free, and they don't want to live by any rules or anything like that. So it's still something that you have to practice and realize that there's nothing but benefits from when you worship and you live for your Creator. There's nothing but benefits from there on.
So you're living the purpose of life now?
I am.
You're happy now?
I'm happy.
What advice do you have for those people out there who are still hopping and hipping to the clubs, or you know what, it's all about the party, it's all about just showing off and the bling bling, or whatever lifestyle they're following, and they just not happy, and now they're tuning into the Dean Show and they liking what you have to say. What advice do you have for them?
First, surround yourself by positive people. If you have any questions, reach out, find those answers. Don't feel afraid. You want to know about Islam, talk to a Muslim. Start praying. If you don't know how, try to find out how. It's all about trying to do good. So it's all about putting that effort in and living for God, not living for today. So.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for
God
having
willing,
me.
God willing, people can benefit from your story. And we wish you all the best Ramadan. And hopefully, inshallah, Allah ease the way to Jannah so we can be in Jannah and paradise together by living a good God-conscious life and trying to develop ourselves to be the best human beings possible. Inshallah, God willing.
Inshallah.
Thank you very much. And that was Keenan here on The Dean Show. Enjoy this Ramadan. Get the most out of this Ramadan. Learn about Ramadan. If you are not yet Muslim, learn about Islam. You see, you know, Keenan looked beyond all that hype, and you see he was living for just the material world, that you only live once mentality, the 55-cent mentality and the Jay-Z mentality. But you know what? That don't get you anywhere. You know, a lot of pain comes with living that lifestyle, and a lot of painkillers. But when you live Islam, the way of life of all the messengers of God, you have that peace, that tranquility. You live with that love for your Creator. And you live satisfying not just the flesh, but you satisfy the soul. And until you give your heart back to the one who created the heart, you'll never be happy. You'll never truly have peace, contentment, and satisfaction in life. So when you see one of the amazing proofs is about Islam, when you have a whole world up against it, and it's still continuing to blossom, no one can suppress it, because it is indeed the truth from the one who created you. What a simple, believable message, and all the proof to back it up. There's only one creator, and your maker who made you, that's the one who you're going to have to return back to. And then it's either the hellfire or paradise. You're going to be accountable for what you did in this life. And all the creator's asking us to do is to appreciate the blessings, the countiful blessings that he's given you. Be thankful and grateful, and start by asking him for guidance. And if you're sincere, he will definitely facilitate a way. Or you can just go ahead and do the alternative. Keep following your lusts and desires and see what happens when you die, because death is approaching. Very, very soon we'll be in the grave. And then what? You had ignored all the signs, and even this Dean show, it just came to you. You were tuning in. So be wise enough, be bright enough to really look into this Dean, this way of life that brings peace, prosperity, and peace, contentment like no other. Call us at 1-800-662-ISLAM. Follow us on the Twitter, on the Facebook. Subscribe right now to the Dean Show. Help pitch in. Help us take the Dean Show to the next level. Contribute. And keep us in your du'as. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Inshallah, we can get to Jannah by doing what our creators told us to do and supporting the da'wah. So support the da'wah. Support the Dean Show. Contribute. And help us spread this message of peace acquired by submission to the will of God, Islam.